95 WRKM LP Cullman.
595. My microphone's not working, but now it is. That's better. So it's time for Sports Talk Live. It's 4 o'clock on a Tuesday or a Thursday. That's what that means. We are Live 95 WRJMLP. I'm Jay Fuller in the station this afternoon producing this wonderful show for everybody. Our guest speakers, of course, are Ronnie Barnes and Jason Spiegel. Portions of the show are brought to you a service of People's Bank. If you would like to sponsor the show, make sure you let us know that. Send us an email at studio@live95cullman.com. You can also find us on Facebook. From there, you can find, what are we, Cullman Community Radio. Do a search for Live 95. You can also search for Sports Talk, Cullman's Sports Talk. I'm sure they'll tell you what the name of their page is. Also, at the end of the show, you can find this show and all of the other Sports Talk Live shows on demand on our website at live95cullman.com. Guys, if I left anything out, let me know. Otherwise, now, without further delay, did I do that Ed McMahon style? Yeah. Here's Jason and Ronnie.
Hey, Jay, you were close on that. Sounded a lot like Ed McMahon to me.
Absolutely. Hey, Jason. Hey, Jay, how are y'all today?
I tried really hard.
Hey, you did a good job, man.
Hey, welcome everyone, as Jay has already said, to the Thursday edition of Sports Talk Live. And Ronnie, we've got a special guest in the studio today.
We sure do, just to start off the show today. And I will say this, never in a million years would I guess that we would have a guest at 4 o'clock today on the show. You can tell them why they're here.
Those of you that have followed the show might remember the name Where's Moolah, and you also, if you remember that name, will remember the name Cindy Wilson. Cindy, for the second time, she is 2 for 2, has claimed Where's Moolah prize this week, $100. And Cindy, welcome to the studio.
Oh, thank you, Jason.
Welcome, right. Cindy. Welcome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I didn't imagine when you text me that the money had been found. I thought it was a joke. I thought you were joking.
Yeah, and I thought she was joking when she called me.
You would think
we joked in the studio that afternoon that there's no way anyone will find it.
No.
At least for a week.
And that took, what, about 5 hours?
Yeah.
5 hours. That's a quick week, you know.
Cindy, tell us, let's go back to the first one. The first one was a little easier, so just tell us how you came about finding the money. What clues and what exactly did you do that day?
Well, the clues was there's a memorial marker within 3 feet of the envelope, and it said if you want to think about it, you might want to sit down. And then it said if you look around, you might see a playground. and this had to be a God thing, because I had already planned to take my dogs to Heritage Park
to play where the dogs, fenced in area for the dogs.
You know, and so I'd read the clues, and I thought, well, that sounds like Heritage Park. So I go up there, I get my dogs out. First bench I go to, I look under there, and there it is.
Oh, my goodness. Did you scream out loud?
I was telling everybody there. I snatched it.
She was telling everyone there, because everyone there probably wanted to know what she was doing looking under the park benches and getting envelopes out under the park.
They were about
benches
to call the police department. Hey, this lady's on some serious drugs.
A big drug deal going down.
Well, which clue, was there one clue that kind of gave it away? No?
No, on the first one it was all three combined, because I had taken my dogs there before and had seen the memorial markers.
Sure, yeah.
And I'll buy the benches.
Yeah.
And so it just kind of all fell into place on that one.
Yeah, and that was $50.
Right.
Yeah, a $50 gift.
And
a freebie.
Just this week, she has claimed $100, and as early as this afternoon, had her picture taken with Ronnie and myself and Moolah. And Cindy, my mind is completely blown on how you could put that together. Let me go over the clues for everyone one more time, and then let Cindy explain how she put it together. The clues were, and correct me if I'm wrong, Ronnie, because I'm going from this old memory.
That's old.
If you are hungry, you might look here.
That's
was
it.
Clue one.
That's clue one.
Clue two.
Which could be anything, anywhere. Oh. I mean, it could be It could be a restaurant. It could be a gas station. It could be grocery store. I mean, that could be.
If you started searching, you could have spent 2 days easily going just to places that
clue
would have covered.
Sure.
The second clue was, if your entire family is hungry, you might look here.
Yeah.
Which didn't narrow it down a whole lot.
Not a whole lot, no.
Cindy, after those two clues, were you on the track or?
No, I was going more towards a restaurant.
Yeah.
Because there's a commercial, and I still can't remember what it is, and it says food for the whole family or food for the entire family. So I was leaning more towards that. I was calling everybody, hey, what commercial is this?
So you did have a little help in this one. Yeah, okay.
And the third clue, and the one I guess that blows my mind more than any that she put together.
Mine too, absolutely.
Because we were laughing about it in the parking lot that afternoon, is the total sum is 13. The total sum is 13, and the clue was actually to give away the highway number, which is 157. 1 and 5 is 6, and a 7 is 13. And Cindy, you actually put it together that way.
Yes, well, first I was thinking of addresses, maybe like 11th Street and 2nd Avenue, where they intersect. And that would, you know, that would come up 13.
Okay. So that I never thought that.
And then I was thinking of restaurants' names that had a number in them. Couldn't come up with nothing with that. And so then I Googled the restaurants in Coleman. And it gave an address, and it said on Highway 157. And that just popped out at me, 157. It's 13.
So you knew then.
Then I knew it was on the...
You knew what highway it was on.
Yes, I was almost positive, 157.
So did you start, on the west side of the interstate, stopping and work your way back, or was this your first stop? Or
No. Came up 31. I went to Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Okay.
Drove around there.
The old Colonel.
Yeah.
Went to Denny's. And then went to Cracker Barrel. People sitting out front watching me look under the rocker.
Oh, is that what you were looking under the rocking chair?
I did read on Facebook that you weren't the only one looking under rockers at Cracker Barrel.
I heard that too. Somebody else was looking under the rockers.
Yes.
Not going to call any names, but I think it was Marlene and Bruce Parker.
I think you're right.
I think you're exactly right. That's right.
And then I sat down at Cracker Barrel where they play checkers. And I was feeling all under there, feeling under the rockers.
Were you getting any looks? Did you notice anybody watching you?
After about my third time to go by, they were looking.
I wonder if any of them left and went and ate somewhere else.
I was afraid to look
inside. We got a nut out here in front of Cracker Barrel.
I was afraid to look inside at the people eating.
Yeah.
You know, they see me going back and forth.
Let's get an ambulance down here with a straight jacket. bring a dart. We may have to put her out to get her strapped down.
And so to look sane from standing outside Cracker Barrel, I called my sister. And I said, hey, get on the internet, Google, you know, who has food for the whole family. And she called me back, Denny's. It's Denny's. So here I go, back to Denny's. I go in, I sit on the bench, and I'm looking around, feeling under it. And then they had a little stand there that gives away the Cupid magazines. Looked all around that. Walked around the whole perimeter of the building. I know, Jason.
You got your exercise in, didn't you, Cindy?
I looked on light poles, even under the smoking where they put their cigarette butts.
Yeah.
That receptacle, looked under there. And I said, well, I'm just going to have to wait till Thursday and get more clues. So I headed home. And on the way home, I was going over the clues. And it said, if you're hungry, you might look here. And I said, look. You would be looking for something.
Uh-huh.
And your entire family, you would be looking. I said, it's a grocery store. I called my sister. I said, it's Warehouse Discount Groceries. By the time we were talking, I live in Phelan. I was already just about home. I said, well, first thing in the morning, I'm going back up there. She said, you better go tonight.
You better get there now. Yeah.
So I go back up there, and I really got some looks at Warehouse Discount. I flipped their bench upside down looking, was on the ground looking under the picnic table.
Did you have to tell anybody, to get you off the hook? Did you say, hey, here's what I'm really doing? You know,
I would have loved to have seen the city police pull up.
Yeah.
Chief
Culpepper pulls up with guns drawn, the SWAT team pulling in behind him.
I thought if I got picked up, Jason was going to come get me out of jail.
I said, sir, I know nothing about what she's talking about.
He's like Colonel Klink, I know nothing.
And so from there, it was to Piggly Wiggly?
Yes.
And tell everybody where you found it, in case somebody missed it. Where did you find the envelope?
It was on the back side of a Coke machine.
On the outside of the doors right there?
Outside the door is the Coke machine before you go in. It was taped, I guess, about chest high on the back of it.
Oh, my goodness. And how long did it take you from the time you started looking? 30 minutes, an hour?
The first time I was gone, probably right out an hour.
Were you?
Yeah.
So you had to work a little more for this one anyway, didn't you? Okay. Yes. You just didn't sit down and find this one, right?
And I've been snooping around here for more clues, but I haven't saw any.
Hey,
yet.
We're broke. We can't.
Hey, I have heard all kind of comments since this, that this is going to look fishy and this is going to look rigged and so forth. But let me assure everyone, if we were going to rig this, we wouldn't have the same person win it twice.
No.
I mean, that might be obvious.
That's exactly right. Hey, you know, it's out there for anybody to hunt.
That's
you know,
it.
Cindy's just bingoed it.
To put the time in and the effort to find the money.
And it's paid off, you know, $150 in 2 weeks.
And she did bring us a couple of moolahs in.
She did.
And stuffed moolahs, and we appreciate that.
We really appreciate that. But, you know, so if it took you an hour or at least an hour to find this one, and the other one you found in just a few minutes. Yeah. Well, your money per hour is pretty stout, isn't it?
She is one of the highest paid
people in Coleman.
So the only remaining question we've got now, where are you hiding the money next, Jason?
Yeah.
Well, that is going to be a deep, deep secret, and we will know Tuesday. Well, we're not going to do another one this week. We're going to kick it off again
next Tuesday
and see if we can stretch it out into a week and a half. I know one thing I've learned. If I ever lose anything, Cindy is the first person I'm calling.
Or if you ever happen to go to Tunica.
Oh, yeah. There's no
question.
Yeah, I mean,
she'd be like
I'll go buy a rubber head or something before we go.
She'd be like on Christmas vacation with tire on top like Grandma.
Okay, now. Y'all bashed me last week.
Oh, that's great. We're happy that you won, Cindy.
Cindy and I go back a long way. Most people don't know this or probably haven't realized it. Cindy was a Cold Springs graduate, and so we go back to school together, put a lot of pranks on each other and so forth. So happy to see you win it, Cindy.
Thank you, Jason.
Congratulations. Yes. And I'm going to tell you up front, this time it's going to be tougher.
We hope.
Yeah.
You said that last
time. It may take you 2 hours to find it this time.
That's right. maybe. Hey, Cindy, again. Hey, congratulations. Well, and keep playing. You know, encourage other folks to. Of course, for you, you don't want to encourage other people to play. You know, the fewer people play, the more chance you have to win again. So,
next time, I'm not calling anybody.
Yeah.
Because I think my sister said I owed her $25.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Got to have a cut out of it. Hey, but, hey, we appreciate it.
Folks, show some appreciation to People's Bank for being a sponsor of this show and a sponsor of Where's Moolah. Moolah will be in the picture, and Moolah will be hit again coming this Tuesday.
We'll start it again. See if Cindy can do it again.
Good luck to you.
Yeah.
We really appreciate you coming in and visiting us today.
Sure. Thank you, Cindy.
Thank you, guys.
We're going to a break. We'll be right back with Sports Talk Live, 95.5.
Having lots of fun? Believe me, I know some folks that are in for some fun. Those early bird friends of Annie's, who've already sent for their new 1940 model Orphan Annie's shake-up mug. You know, all of Annie's friends who drink sweet chocolate-flavored Ovaltine can get these swell new shake-up mugs free. And boy, are they beauties. Wait till you see them. They're made of genuine beetleware in brand-new colors. A beautiful deep green and a bright flashing scarlet. And every mug has a big colored picture of Orphan Annie and her dog Sandy right on the front. And don't forget, this shaker upper is a 2-in-1 gift. When you put the top on, it makes a keen shaker for mixing your ice cold chocolate flavored Ovaltine shake-ups. And then, when you take the bright red top off, presto, the shaker turns into a swell big drinking mug, holding a creamy, bubbly shake-up all ready for you to drink. Man alive, what fun you'll have with that new shaker-upper. Playing the shake-up game with your friends and having shake-up parties, making a picnic out of every meal this summer. Think of having a delicious ice-cold shake-up drink anytime you want it, made with fresh cold milk and sweet chocolate-flavored Ovaltine. What a treat on a warm summer day. And, of course, Mother will be glad to have you fix all the shake-ups you want, because she knows how much extra pep and energy food there is in every single Ovaltine shake-up. loads of extra vitamins and minerals and other things everybody needs to be healthy and husky the way we all want to be. So, here's the thing. Annie wants all her friends to have one of these swell new 1940 model shake-up mugs, and you want to get one, I know. Especially when Annie has fixed it so fellows and girls who drink Ovaltine can get one absolutely free. Even though our regular price is 50 cents. So, listen closely. Here's what to do. Sit right down after tonight's adventure and print your name and address plainly on a piece of paper. Send it in along with a thin metal foil seal from under the lid of a can of sweet chocolate-flavored Ovaltine. Mail it to Orphan Annie, Chicago, Illinois, and she'll send you your new 1940 model shake-up mug absolutely free. Now, don't put it off, will you? Ask Mother to get you a can of sweet chocolate-flavored Ovaltine right now and send in that seal for your free shake-up mug tonight. Mail it to Orphan Annie, Chicago, Illinois. Annie's sorry, but she can offer this wonderful free shake-up mug only to her friends who live in the United States. But if you do live in the United States, send in tonight.
Welcome back to Sports Talk Live 95.5. And Rennie, that was an enjoyable segment.
Cindy's a natural at this.
Hey, I'm telling you, she may be taking her job.
I'm going to say we can't have her up here very much.
Yeah.
With her, as good as she is, what we may have to do is give the clues and then go move it somewhere else so she doesn't find it. I started to ask her, you know, if she'd had any kind of military training, you know, a Green Beret, you know, is she a Navy SEAL?
If not, she needs to do some training.
She needs to trade some. Hey, that's right.
She might can find the plane. The Malaysian plane is down.
Hey, just send her over there and
put it. They've been calling all over the world. All they've got to do is
call Cindy Wilson in Bremen, Alabama. Oh, she did a great job.
Yes,
wow.
Sir.
But, you know, hey, $150 in 2 weeks. Hey, she's going to have to fill out a 1099. She's going to have to report that to the IRS.
Yeah,
they'll come get her.
Be
hey, she'll be done. She won't be hunting. She'll be behind bars.
Hey, Ronnie, what you got on the tap today?
Got a few little current sporting activities that's taking place. We'll talk about a few of those. The first one was this is pro football. They're not all, I don't think, but this one's pro football. You remember that Ray Rice, who's a running back with the Baltimore Ravens, back, or he still currently is one of the best running backs in the NFL. He's the one that tattooed his girlfriend or his fiance, you know, and KO'd her, knocked her out,
and then
drug her out of the – she was in the elevator, and he drug her out of the elevator, and they got him on surveillance camera and all that kind of stuff. Well, what has happened to him is he has been suspended from the NFL for 2 games, and he was fined $58,000, and the 2 games that he has to miss – certainly, he doesn't. Those are without pay. Some people are really, you know, blasting the NFL commissioner that's not a serious enough of a punishment. When if someone has a drug related incident, then they'll miss a minimum of 4 games.
Yeah, that seems a little light.
That does seem a little bit light. Now, of course, I don't know if they were looking at his past. He'd never been in any kind of trouble. At all, and the statement that he made was, you know, a great statement that he understands he's a role model. He understands he messed up. You know, he understands that after going through counseling that they're a much better couple and blah 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 and so on and so on.
Correct me if I'm wrong, though. Is this not the same NFL? And I think I heard this earlier today on another show. Not the same NFL that levied a suspension for a gay joke.
Yes.
And we're suspending this guy only for 2 games?
He's for 2 games he cold cocked her. She was out. I mean, he drug her. It's not funny, but he drug her out of that elevator. I mean, it was like she was a sack of potatoes. I mean,
and he gets a whopping 2 games.
He gets 2 game suspension. So Roger Goodell, the NFL,
you're better off to knock out your girlfriend or your wife and drag her out than you are to make a joke or
That's right. Any kind of derogatory comment. Yeah, we'll get you as much or more.
And remember the incident where the player reported some of his teammates for kidding him, aggravating, whatever you want to call it, in the locker room.
Oh, goodness.
That suspensions came down from that.
Yeah, that would – oh, that and the
but
guy
– in the NFL, if you can't take a little joking and poke it.
Yeah, that was with the Miami Dolphins. And that guy who was doing the, you know, we'll say bullying, he's probably done. He'll probably never play another down in the NFL because nobody will pick him up.
Right, and bullying is a serious matter these days.
It
especially,
is,
especially,
sure.
I mean, you see it in the news all the time. But
absolutely.
To me, when you get into the NFL, hey, you're going to have some of that.
You're going to have some of that. So, but, yeah, that cost that guy, I can't even think of his name right now, but he'll never play in the NFL again. So that was what has currently taken place with Ray Rice. The owner of the Denver Broncos, who is Pat Bowlen, he has stepped down. He's still the owner, but he is in no control. He's not running it at all. Unfortunately, he is battling Alzheimer's. I heard him say that he could barely remember winning the two Super Bowls.
Wow! Terrible disease.
Terrible disease. If you know that,
and most families, I think at this point, have had someone close to them affected by it. And if you ever see anybody go through that, it's an awful scene.
It is. It's an awful scene. But he has given up authority of the Denver Broncos, and that is a great professional franchise. You know, and from what I've heard and read, nothing but great things are said about Pat Bowlen. John Elway was on doing an interview. I don't know if you saw it, and he basically could not talk. He was so choked up emotionally over this situation because, you know, everybody knows what's ultimately coming.
Yeah.
But Pat Bowlen, the owner of Denver Broncos, is basically stepping aside and letting somebody else run it. Hey, Jason, we've got two or three more here. Do you remember this kid? And I say a kid because he's only now about 23, maybe 24. Justin Blackmon, he was a wide receiver at Oklahoma State. Came out, was a very high first-round draft pick. He was as good – he's probably as good a receiver that has come out in the last 10 years. An absolute physical specimen. When I think of receivers that are physical specimens, naturally I'm going to think of somebody from Alabama and I think of Julio Jones. Well, Blackmon is more of a physical presence or specimen than Julio is. Well, he has now been arrested for the third time for drug possession. He was already in indefinite suspension from the NFL for the previous arrest that he's had. And now he's been arrested the third time. He's a member of the Jacksonville Jaguars, but, of course, you know, he's probably never going to play football.
Three strikes and you're out.
And he could have been one of those guys who could have been a record setter, you know, if he had have stayed clean, you know, continued to improve, because he had every tool needed to be a great receiver. So his chances of getting back in the league, I mean, they were very difficult anyway, because he was already on an indefinite suspension after his second drug incident or drug arrest. And while he's on that suspension, he gets arrested again for marijuana. So, you know, his chances of playing again are very, very slim.
There is millions of reasons to lay that stuff down while you're playing football. Millions of reasons.
Oh, yes, millions and millions of reasons. So, you know, he probably will never play again. Hey, I got one more, and then if you got something, we'll go with it. This is the NBA. Kevin Love of the Minnesota Timberwolves is still out there. There's a couple teams after him. One of those happens to be the Cleveland Cavaliers, who we all know now has LeBron James, and the Chicago Bulls are both still after him. Nobody knows yet where he's going to end up, but if Cleveland's going to have to give up, or they're willing to give up Andrew Wiggins, who was their first-round draft pick this year, who many people say can be an impact player right off the bat. I mean, he's a great player from University of Kansas. They're also willing to give up last year's first-round draft pick, and just a little icing on the cake, they're willing to give up next year's first-round draft pick. Three first-round draft picks to get Kevin Love from the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Giving the farm away, but you can't say that you blame them on that one.
No. And the thing about it is, you know, unless you really keep up with the NBA, you probably don't know who Kevin Love is, because, or you may recognize the name, but you don't ever see him play, because you don't, you know, you don't get to see the Minnesota Timberwolves, you know, on Sundays at noon very often during the basketball season.
That's right. Unless you want to fork out the extra dollars and get the old DirecTV or Dish Network
that's
package.
Right. Well, speaking of that.
Still no change. Those of you hunting the SEC Network on DirecTV, all I can say is keep trying to call and maybe it'll come through. Which brings me to something I read today. The SEC Network already is worth more than all the other sports stations, with the exception of ESPN, ESPN2, and Fox Sports. So it puts them at four or five.
They haven't even been on TV.
Every team in the SEC will get more TV money than the Texas Longhorns or Notre Dame, who have their own TV package.
Yes, they do.
The Longhorn Network. But every team in the SEC will get more money than the Texas Longhorns.
Goodness. Does that give you any... If you know nothing else about SEC football, would that not pretty much just, you know, would that,
that
not
tells the story?
It's obvious, you know. It's obvious that.
And yet, DirecTV is yet to pick it up.
They're looking for a. They're looking for a last minute deal
for that dollar and what was it? $1.35.
$1.35, and if you weren't in the South, it was 25 cents.
And
or something like,
like
that.
I said the other time, I'm willing to pay somebody's $1.35.
Help a
college football fan out.
Yes.
We've got a lot more on college football we're going to get into. Don't really have time before the break, but just to kind of look over it, we're going to look at the Vegas lines. If you want to look at it online, you can do so at the website, ColemanSportsTalk.com. The Vegas lines on everything running from who's going to win the Super Bowl, who's going to be the most valuable player in the NFL, the Heisman Trophy, who will make the four-team playoff, and we're going to talk about this later on. Yeah. But just about, you can bet or you can use it for entertainment purposes only. On about anything you want to.
Off of that Vegas line.
Oh, yeah. There's a line on everything. So
I got you.
Also, we will take a look at cheating.
Cheating in
college football. Well, you think it happens?
No. Of course it does not.
Not at Auburn or
not
Alabama.
Not at Auburn or Alabama. That's exactly right.
Not in the state of Alabama.
And I know we'll talk about more, a lot about that. That's been on the news big time. So,
in fact, we're going to have the top 10 college football scandals in the BCS era. And you're going to be surprised.
I was surprised. But, you know, what brought a lot of this about was, I think it was the big, was it the Big 12? Commissioner who
Big 12
Big
commissioner,
12 commissioner yeah. went on to start, you know, running his mouth about cheating, and he didn't really call any names or any conferences, but you know, you can read between the lines of what, at least I, what I thought he was, who he was throwing darts at was the SEC.
Oh, no question. And Stoops in Oklahoma needs a head examination.
Oh, you got that right. Hey, but when we come back, it's time for Out in Left Field.
Out in Left Field.
Left Field when we come back.
Oh, you don't want to miss this one.
No, you don't want to miss this one. Be back in a minute.
Lum and Abner will be with us in just a moment. But first, a short message from the Ford dealers of America.
Owners everywhere are talking about the economy of the 50 Ford. Listen to what Mr. Jacob N. Wade of Lyndhurst, Virginia, one of over 420,000 delighted owners, said about his new Ford.
In these days when the cost of everything is up, it's certainly great to own a 50 Ford. For I found that my new Ford V8 gives me everything I'd expect to find in an expensive car for amazingly little money. And in addition to being a low-cost car to buy, I find my Ford is mighty economical to own. I get 20 miles to a gallon and spend very little for upkeep. My money sure goes a lot further since I've owned a 50 Ford. Yes, Ford owners everywhere are finding out about the economy of the great new Ford. They're saving real money now because of Ford's low price. And they'll be saving real money for years to come because of Ford's low operating and maintenance costs. But see for yourself. Tomorrow, stop by your neighborhood Ford dealers. Get the facts on Ford economy. Then take the wheel and test drive the big new Ford.
Thank you. handsome, most happy fellas, the four lads for Ford.
Standing on the corner, watching all the Fords go by. Standing on the corner, giving all the Fords the eye. Look at it go, it's the Thunderbird's kissing cousin. Get in a Ford, get Ford a try.
Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio. And we've had a lot of questions here lately, people wanting to know what the names of these songs were, so I thought I'd just drop that in. Although my headphones, that sounds a little better. So this is a band by the name of Seal, and it's followed up by Pearl Jam, where they're going to play a little Crazy Mary. Because, you know, some of those early on crazy stories involved alcohol and crazy things like that. Pass it around. And then this is followed up with a Dave Matthews Band remake of a song called Gravedigger that you'll hear in a minute. Take a bottle, drink it down, pass it, pass it, pass it. And then this is followed up by the song that I think everybody knows. It's Gnarls Barkley's Crazy. Dig my grave, could you make it shallow so that I can feel the rain? And this is where they start telling you all the crazy news.
Welcome back to Sports Talk Live and what has become one of the favorite segments of the show, Ronnie.
Hot segment. A hot segment.
Hey, this is out in left field.
They all tune in for the songs.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah. You're not going to get those songs just anywhere.
No, you won't.
Hey, this is news that you won't hear anywhere else.
No.
You're not going to see this on Fox tonight, or at least most of it.
No, Hannity wouldn't dare cover this. Megyn Kelly sure wouldn't.
Hey, Ronnie, leading off out in left field.
Yes.
Coleman woman finds giveaway money for the second week straight. Cindy Wilson found $100 this week, adding to her $50 that she found in a cash prize giveaway.
Oh, that is some hot news right there. Isn't it? I mean, she's,
Cindy, I know you're listening, and we are kidding with you. Keep hunting that money. But we had to throw one more dig in there.
Absolutely. $150 in a week.
That's right. Ronnie, I think you've got the first real story.
Do I have the first real story? Yes, I do. Hey, if you think you're having a bad day, and we've all had them from time to time, but here's a situation that took place, and I hate to say it again, in the state of Florida. Okay.
Gator country.
Gator country. That's exactly right. Man run over by own truck during road rage. A man in Florida apparently got a dose of road rage karma when the police say he was run over by his own pickup truck after getting out to bang on another driver's window. It happened Tuesday near Gainesville, Florida. The Gainesville Sun reported 48-year-old Joseph Carl had been drinking.
No chance.
None. Zero. Mm-mm. And drove into a vehicle stopped at a red light. He got out of his truck without putting it in park and began banging on the window of the woman's car. When the frightened woman drove away, there was nothing holding his truck in place. The truck rolls into Carl. A police report that he was taken to the hospital where he was treated for fractures in his hands and feet.
Hey, now what? I mean, he's got road rage because the lady has stopped at the red light.
Yeah.
Isn't that what you normally
do? I was going to say, isn't that the normal law of the land that's been here ever since we've had cars and red lights, you know?
I mean, hate to laugh at his injuries, but, you know, sometimes you just deserve it.
Sometimes you get what you pay for, you know?
So the karma bus rolled
around. I wonder what he thought. I'm wondering when he turned around and he saw the front of that truck running over him. I wonder if he was thinking, is that my truck?
Yeah, who's in my truck?
Somebody is running over me. So, you know, that's a classic right there. Somebody's running over me. I mean, what is he thinking? He's going to jump up and, you know, jerk him out of the truck, and he realizes there's nobody in the truck. I guess Casper's the one that ran over him.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Ronnie, get a hold of this story now. And okay. For those of you, I'm going to try to edit this the best I can, but sometimes – even though you try to edit, there's not a lot you can do with it.
There's only so much you can edit, isn't there?
The headline in this one from the great state of Alabama.
Roll Tide.
Not too far away from us, Birmingham, Alabama.
No, that's Imagine not that. Possible.
Alabama man sues, claiming, and I'm going to leave the blank here, but we're going to say his man part.
Okay.
His man part. Amputated instead of being circumcised. An Alabama man who went into the hospital last month for circumcision woke up after surgery to find his part had been amputated. His lawyer said on Thursday, I'm not going to call, well, I might as well call the name, it's right here on Yahoo. Johnny Lee Banks, 56, said in a lawsuit filed in state court earlier this week that no one at Princeton Baptist Medical Center in Birmingham, Alabama, had told him why it had been necessary to remove his part. My client is devastated, Graves said. Graves is his attorney. Banks, who is married and does not work due to a disability, get this now, did not recall the precise date of the incident, but believed it occurred sometime in June.
You know, that tells me a whole lot about Mr. Banks. I honestly believe if that were to happen, I would know.
You would remember the date.
I would remember the day. I would remember the time. I would remember my room number. I wouldn't think. It wouldn't
Can you
be.
Imagine him going to his attorney? Sir, when did this happen?
Well,
I was at the house one day, and I went to the bathroom, and it was gone. I'm not sure when it happened, but sometime in the month of June.
It was. Oh my gosh! What do you think when you, let's say you wake up from and you notice something ain't right, you know, and you think. Boy, you know, this anesthesia has not, it's not worn off. I'm hallucinating. It's going to be a while before I'm back to my senses. And then later you realize what you thought was gone was really not there. I mean,
Johnny Lee Banks is now Joni Lee Banks. A number of defendants are named in the lawsuit, including the hospital, the urology centers of Alabama, and two doctors. Spokespeople for the hospital have declined comment.
Oh.
You know, you hear about amputation of the wrong foot or the wrong hand. I don't understand how that happens, but it does. But I really don't understand how you get a circumcision and an amputation mixed up in that.
I don't either. There, but you know, again, there has to be a lot more to this story. When
do they not mark with a pen? Kathy had foot surgery.
Yeah,
and they came in before the surgery.
Yeah,
and made an etch where they were going to make the incision. The doctors initialed it. Do they not do that?
I don't know. I can't answer that question.
I mean, I know it would have to be some small writing. Yeah. But.
But you know, again, there has to be more to this story. When the guy really can't remember, he just knew it was sometime in the month of June.
Oh man,
bless his heart.
Yeah,
you know,
bless.
Hey, you know, I just say, just get Jack Kevorkian or somebody within his family on the line. Give me a shot, and let's just end it right now.
Who was the guy? Bobbitt. Bobbitt, you remember that his wife done the procedure for him.
Yeah, she did. She didn't charge. Insurance wasn't involved
and
in this.
Someone jogging later found the missing part.
Yes.
So can you imagine the jogger? What is that?
What
is that the dog drinking?
Well,
we're going to get off that subject back to sports.
Hey, here's a couple more. These are just a couple of headlines. It's not an article, but it says, Why Florida Leads the World in Weird.
I would like to know that. My brother lived in Florida and watched the news there every day, and he will tell you right up front that it is a different world. State.
Yeah. Here's just some headlines, or news article headlines, not the actual article itself. And this first one is, it's really, honestly, this one is disturbing. I'm going to read it anyway. Of course, it can't be more disturbing just what Jason read, but this one is entitled Medical Assistant. Now, this is true stuff. Medical Assistant brands her children to know they are hers.
You talking about branding them like cows or branded?
That's all it says, so I really don't know.
Take a hot iron and stick to them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. And this is, and the thing,
they need to brand her.
You got that right. Hey, she is a medical assistant. What if she came in to give you a shot?
Hey, she may have been the one that done the circumcision.
She may have been. That's exactly right. That was probably a sheer accident that, you know, they have that extremely sharp scapula, and the surgeon had a cold. scapula.
Scapula.
And he sneezed. And
it gone.
Okay. Again, medical assistant brands her children to know they're hers. How sick! I mean, really, that is
out in left field.
Yeah,
it's out of the park.
You got that right. Hopefully, she will never be involved with those children again. Here's one more. And then we got to go to a break. A 450-pound man hides coke and pot under his own fat folds.
Now, that is either a small amount or he's got some big folds.
I say he's going to have – he's 450. He's a pretty good-sized man. But now we don't know how tall
he
is.
He's 4 foot tall.
He's 4 foot – well, now, he's 4 foot tall. He is a big man.
He's nothing but a rope.
That's like he's just carrying – you know, he'd be like he's carrying around his own tube belt, you know. If he's working on a job, somebody holler, hey, I need a 10-penny nail. And he got one right – I got one right under here on this fold. So, or like a change machine, you know, that – out if you go to a fast food restaurant, you know, if they get backed up, the little girl will be staying out there. He could have his own change machine under there. Oh, my 450-pound man hides coke and pot under his own folds, under his fat folds. Wow. All right.
Hey, that sounds like a good one to lead into the break with, Ronnie. We're going to come back, and we're going to dig into college football, the 10 biggest scandals in the BCS area. And like I said, you're going to be surprised. Stay with us. Sports Talk Live, 95.5.
And now, Toby Reed with a word of something that is really a matter of life and death. And that is, Toby?
A blowout, Walter.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, a blowout in one of the tires on your automobile. Did you ever stop to think that if you're driving at today's top speed of 35 miles an hour and a blowout swerves your car into an oncoming truck, which travels at the same speed, the resulting crash has a force of 70 miles an hour? Now, that's enough to double you right over the steering wheel and push the engine through the dash. Yet there is actually no need for a blowout to throw your car out of control. Not if the car is equipped with Goodyear lifeguards. For the lifeguard is an inner tire, a two-ply safety tire within a tube. It replaces the conventional inner tube, and if your outer tire and tube blow, the inner tire of the lifeguard remains inflated, holds the car steady so you can come to a sure, safe stop. That's the kind of blowout protection your family needs, and such sure protection it is that never once has a lifeguard been reported to fail. Never once. Think it over. Ask your Goodyear dealer if he has any of the few lifeguards now available. If so, equip your car with lifeguards, which are now ration free. For remember, when your tire blows out, the Goodyear lifeguard never lets you down.
Welcome back to the Thursday edition of Sports Talk Live. And before we start digging into all the scandals and cheating in college football, let's give out the number, 256-737-9951. We can take calls on a limited basis. Next week, we will be up full speed running and hope to get some calls next week. You can follow us on Twitter, at Coleman Sports. Facebook, find us at Sports Talk Live, and also the station website, Live 95, on Facebook. Check us out there. Like us. We're up to, I think, 309 now running for the show.
Hey, that's great. Thanks, everybody.
Ronnie, digging into some articles, and like you said, it was brought on by the Big 12 commissioner taking stabs, as you said, more or less at the SEC.
No question whatsoever.
Got me to thinking about the past scandals and pulled up an article, college football's 10 biggest scandals in the BCS era. So, fans at home, what would you say number 10 is? And, Ronnie, I know you may be looking at it, so that's not too hard, but number 10, the Auburn Tigers. My Auburn Tigers come in at number 10 with the Cam Newton days.
Absolutely, yeah. And yeah, was it newsworthy? Was it something they talked about?
How does
all the
it
time?
Rank?
Yes.
How does but it rank number 10 when Auburn was never found guilty of anything?
That's right. It was never nothing was ever proven. So,
I'm not saying they never done anything. I think.
Oh, there was
Cam's father probably got money, but.
Oh, I completely agree with you there.
But he's not the only one in the state of Alabama that's ever done that.
No, he's not. But I'm with you. I don't even know how that makes a list. That was just an accusation.
That's right. You can make an accusation against anybody. It don't cost anything to make accusations.
That's exactly right.
Coming in at number 9, and Alabama fans were laughing probably about Auburn, but Alabama, you claim number 9.
Oh, this is rigged.
Yeah.
This is all rigged.
And the article actually says, what would a scandal list be without good old Alabama? There doesn't seem to be a stretch of more than a few seasons without Alabama stepping in to some excitement. And the scandal, and again, I think this is not list worthy, even coming from an Auburn fan. It's the textbook scandal that broke several years back. I think actually they were getting textbooks and being given textbooks, selling the textbooks and giving them away another way to make a few extra dollars.
Right. Is that against the NCAA rules? Yes. I mean, I got that, but, you know, good grief.
You remember and it was Pat Dye's undoing at Auburn when it was alleged that he bought steaks and groceries for a player who had a family.
Yes.
And then
I remember that.
The player turned his back on Pat Dye. Right or wrong, I mean, Pat Dye, if somebody needs groceries, I'm a coach, I'm probably going to buy
right.
it.
Right. Right.
But then the back is turned on Pat Dye, and that pretty much did him in at Auburn.
You're right. But, you know, the NCAA is and give the coaches the benefit of the doubt. There's a lot of times they could be breaking a rule and not really even know they're breaking a rule because there are so many ludicrous out in left field rules, you know, by the NCAA.
Hey, get this. If you follow the rules – heard this again on another show, but if you follow the NCAA rules, the workouts the football teams go through, the conditioning exercises, has to be open to the student body.
I heard that same thing.
To post a notice for conditioning.
Yeah.
Guys, I'd like to chime in here, too, being the guy who runs the radio station. It's the same way with us in the FCC. You know, there are so many rules that we're supposed to follow. And I hope we're following them all. If not, I like my freedom.
sure. But if you're breaking a rule, some rules you don't even know you're breaking because there's so many. It's like an encyclopedia.
That's the shape our country has got into.
That's right. It's like the IRS.
They tell me it's always better to ask forgiveness than it is to ask permission.
That's so true. That is true.
So if anybody from the FCC is in town listening,
don't
come by. Okay.
Right, yeah. Everything's good.
Our books are clean. But talking about rules, and we're going to go on down the list and what shape our country has got in with rules, Ronnie. Even where's Moolah? Yeah. I have had a couple of different comments. y'all may have to pass a rule that somebody can't win it over once or twice. Yeah. But we don't need rules.
No,
hey,
we
this
don't.
Is a fun game. If you want to find the money, get out there and find it.
That's right.
That's the only rule we have.
It's open to anybody other
that's
than
it.
Us.
Yeah, other than us and our family.
Our immediate family, we can't play.
You can put in the time, as Cindy has done, and find the money. And think about this. If you did pass that rule and somebody had won it six times, the seventh time, all they would have to do is get their cousin or their somebody else to claim it.
Yeah, you know, there's only so much you can police. And who wants to police this? This is fun.
This is fun.
Exactly.
And if you've got a problem with somebody winning it over once or twice, all I can say is just don't play.
Yeah, don't play or hunt harder.
Coming in at number eight, Arizona State. Is that Lauren Wade? He received $1,100 from a staff member. In 2007, Wade was also found guilty of murder.
Wow.
Which is a little more serious offense than the
$1,100
from Arizona State, which, again, $1,100 doesn't to me seem list worthy.
No.
Now we're getting into some that does seem list worthy.
Okay.
For my son, Tyler, the North Carolina Tar Heels.
Yeah, he's a big Tar Heel basketball guy.
But this football and money was flowing from agents.
This was serious stuff then.
Oh, yeah. It was big money flowing in, but you couldn't tell it by looking at their football program.
Right.
I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
Coming in at number six, and I remember this one, Colorado. Katie Nida, or I don't even know how you pronounce her last name, in 1999 became the second female to appear on a football roster. The scandal began in 2000 when she was cut from the team. She then levied allegations of harassment and rape.
After she was cut.
Everything was fine while she was on the team, but when she was cut, she had been mistreated.
Yeah. So, do we know the end road of that story?
I think that one was pretty well swept under the rug or passed over by the committee, but where Colorado did get in trouble in 2004, and this will get you every time, hiring strippers for recruitment parties.
Well, now I can see where that could be.
Yeah,
it
sounds a lot like the Miami Hurricanes.
Yes, that's exactly right. Sounds just like something like the Miami Hurricanes. So, yeah, that might be a little bit over the top. And if you're a head coach or are a member of that staff and you know that's going on,
I like to think that most coaching, I think that is the situation. Most of the time, coaches know nothing about it. It's the boosters.
You're right. I agree with that, and you know, but who ultimately pays the price for it?
Oh, no question about it. Yeah. It's always on the old head coach.
You got that. You know, the boosters they're to college football what the owners are to professional football, really.
Right.
You know, the big boosters they really are.
And until I hate to say this, but a rule. But this is one time I think they need to enforce a rule, and it's pretty simple to me. If a college football player is caught taking money, a college coach is proven to have fed a recruit money, and these allegations are proven, let's keep them out of the NFL for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Let's keep the coach out of coaching for a few years instead of punishing the school and athletes that had nothing to do with
the situation. That's exactly right. Absolutely. And and the teams to follow. That's what I hate. It's for those kids that are playing, you know, in the next year or two or three, depending on what the NCAA hands down. You know, if it's a kid issue, a player issue, that player, like you said, they're already in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
And the ones that get punished are the ones that were probably still in high school, some of them at that time.
That's right. Knew nothing of it. Coming in at number five, Florida State University, FSU, or Free Shoes University.
I remember that. Do you remember how, I think at that time, I know it was, at that time, Steve Spurrier was at the University of Florida.
Yeah.
And
he
kind of coined that, coined the phrase, or he piggybacked off on it, of FSU Free Shoes University. Boy, he piled all over them.
Not Spurrier,
Spurrier wouldn't do that. He does it every year. He's doing it again.
This led ultimately to Bobby Bowden's undoing at Florida State.
Yeah. Boy, did he not, take away these last few years, did he not have a phenomenal career at Florida State University?
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. Started with a team that was a nobody, started from nothing, and built that into a powerhouse. Coming in at number four, the Miami Hurricanes.
No way.
Not does the name Hurricanes. Nevin Shapiro ring a bell? And this was on Dateline 2020, one of the shows I watched it. Unbelievable what was going on at the University of Miami, and unbelievable who all actually knew of it.
Yes. This was a huge scandal from... Go ahead.
From strippers being hired to parties on yachts, hotels being furnished for the players, prostitutes and being furnished for players, it was going on.
Yeah, would you say there was no institutional control?
It might have been.
Just a little bit of oversight about either the football coaches or the athletic directors. But you're right. That was rampant with Miami.
Coming in at number three, and this is one that started out to be a small thing, and one of the cases, if you just tell the truth, probably nothing happens.
Yeah.
Or it'd be minor. Ohio State Buckeyes, Jim Tressel.
Yep. He decided to tell the NCAA a non-truth when it came down to about students and selling their jerseys and those kind of things. Wasn't that basically what it was about? Yeah.
And from what I read, if he had basically told the truth, been up front with it, self-reported it, nothing would have happened. No suspension, bowl game still intact, everything.
Yes, and it certainly cost him his career, and he had a great thing going at Ohio State. I mean, you know, he had a great thing going, but now he's the last I know of. He was a scout or something in the NFL, so he fell a long way.
We are down to two, and most people are sitting there thinking, I know what number one is because it blows me away that it's not number one. Number two, Penn State and Nittany Lions.
When you told me that earlier today, I mean, I was completely in shock that is not the number one scandal in the history of college football.
In
not
the history
just
of
in
athletics.
That's right.
I mean, this is a warped.
Oh, a very sick individual.
And no matter what is said or whatever comes about, no way you ever convince me that Paterno, his staff, and all didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
It was covered up to protect Penn State University in the football program.
That's right. And a long time, you know, coach who had been there for many, many years, well respected and all that kind of stuff. But that is just, you know, there aren't really words for that. That's inexcusable.
Coming in at number one, USC and the Reggie Bush incident. 2004, Auburn, remember, left out, stayed at home, undefeated season.
Yes.
USC wins the national championship only to later have to give the trophy back because of Reggie Bush.
Right. But, you know, maybe that – I don't see that as the number one scandal. I don't even know if I would have guessed it. I'm sure it should be on the list, but how can that be number one and the Penn State situation be number two?
Right. It blows my mind,
too. It's just absurd.
One thing adding to it is the fact that Pete Carroll jumped the ship just before – the NCAA came down.
Oh, yes. He's always been right on the edge, it seems like.
Oh, yeah. He's always a step ahead.
Exactly right.
All right. That's going to wrap up these scandals in college football. We're going to go to a break. Come back in just a second. 256-737-9951. We'll be right back with Sports Talk Live.
You're listening to Live 95 WRJM LP Coleman.
When you say that, you said a lot of things nobody else can say. When you say that, you've gone as far as you can go to get the very best. When you say but, you said the word that means a lot to do it all. When you say but, it means you want the beer that's got a taste that's number one. When you say but, you tell the world you know what makes it all the way. When you say but,
You say you care enough to own your own, but keep not fear. There is the other one. There's only something less, because the king of fears is leading all the rest. When you say Budweiser,
you've said it all.
We're the all-new Live 95, WRKM-LP, Coleman.
Hey, Columbus, we can't turn back without an order from you.
I'm not talking while the flavor lasts.
What are you chewing?
Peach nut gum. We could be in for a long voyage.
Welcome back once again. Wow, Jay, you're getting your money's worth today. These are getting shorter and shorter.
I can't even stand up and get this cramp out of my calf. You're killing us, Jay.
Earning your paycheck.
Yeah, that's it. You got that right. Mm-hmm. Be hard for us to spend all this paycheck.
Yeah. All right, we've covered the scandal in college football, so let's get to a more positive note. And we've covered part of the West, and then running, we got the East Tuesday. Let's finish covering the West.
Yeah, we're gonna look at the SEC West. Of course, like Jason just said, we've already talked about Alabama and Auburn and how we think they're going to finish in the conference. I think Bama finishes one and Auburn two, and Jason thinks Auburn finishes one, and I think Bama two. Their records ended up where Auburn was 12-2, and Alabama was 11-2. Auburn made it to the national championship game, as everyone knows, lost the game there, and Bama got drilled in their bowl game against Oklahoma. So they lost their last two games. So let's look at
– Hey, Brennan, before we go into that, I hate to interrupt you, but I want to go just for a minute back to Stoops. And the Oklahoma, when you said Alabama got drilled by Oklahoma, what is going on with Mr. Stoops at Oklahoma? Why does he feel the need to continually take shots at Nick Saban?
Yeah, I don't know what their history is, but it's pretty obvious he doesn't care much for Nick Saban or the University of Alabama.
If it's not him, it's one of his assistants tweeting comments, making comments. I mean, they're not bashful about it at all.
No, no. You know, I think Saban may have, you may know more of the details on it, may have said something about the SEC. The Sugar Bowl, was it? Did you say something like a consolation game or something?
Yeah, he was trying to. It was difficult to get his players ready to play in what they viewed as a consolation game.
Yeah.
No swipe at Oklahoma. I mean, never a bad word about Oklahoma.
Right.
But Stoops finds the need to fire back.
Oh, he fired off on him, didn't he? But you know, I think he's got
an inferiority complex.
Oh, I do too. He can, you know, he's proven over the last few years he can't win the big ones.
That's it.
You know, I mean, what's Oklahoma done in the last 5 years? Have they been on the national scene? No.
And no, and in their conference, there's really only two teams.
You're right.
Basically, year in, year out, Oklahoma, Texas.
That's right. Come over to the SEC and get you a taste of, you know, the SEC.
Get you some of this.
Get you some of this. and see how that works out for you. But you're right. He does not have any use for Alabama. Or Nick Saban especially. You know, and that also leads us, Jason, you think about, you know, we were talking about the cheating situation a little bit earlier. You know, and Spurrier, you know, he threw digs at Saban too, not necessarily on the cheating part, but, you know, he was throwing digs on him, you know, basically saying that, you know, look, they ought to be, you know, top ranked. They ought to be winning more SEC championships because – You know, somebody said something about it, and he said, well, you know, Alabama's only won two, but they've had the top recruiting classes five out of the last 6 years, you know. So he kind of, you know, he threw one at Saban, too, and then, you know, they asked him about the, you know, the top coach in the SEC or whatever, and, you know, he didn't pick, you know, Saban.
I think that is the problem with Spurrier is when you have been the top man for years and years, and he was the top man in the SEC.
You're right.
Until Nick Saban.
That's right. I mean, he dominated. He was in total control of the SEC when he was at the University of Florida.
Yeah,
he was wearing people out. And, you know, he didn't mind telling you about it either.
But now the big man is not quite as big as he used to
be. No, he's not. He is not the top. He's not on the top rung of the ladder anymore.
He may feel his age kicking in, and he sees there's a new sheriff in town.
That's right. Now, not taking anything away from them, they've got a good football team. And I think they're going to win the – I think they'll win the East.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any question about it. To me, there's no question about it. I think they're that much better than everybody else in the East. But, again, he is not the best coach
in the
SEC.
Let's play football and let's leave all this name calling and
absolutely. That's exactly right. You know, and I like what Saban said as far as the cheating thing. And this goes to coaches in this day and era. And he was saying, you know, why would a coach – base their career that they have worked years and years to try to illegally recruit a kid. He said, with all the social media that's out there now, with Facebook, with Twitter, you know, everybody has a phone, you know, text and all that. Yeah. Why would you even think of taking a chance to talk to a kid when you're not, you know, that you're not supposed to talk to them? But simply because, do you think if you tell that kid, now listen, I'm not supposed to be talking to you now, so don't say anything? Do you really believe that kid's not going to say anything?
They have demonstrated time and time again that you give them about 5 seconds with their telephone.
Sure.
And they're going to destroy you.
Oh, they are. I mean, that's just the social media world.
Who was the
world.
Player at Alabama that he had not played it down, and he was on Twitter flashing the money and saying that things were different now. He wasn't poor anymore, and I can't remember his name, but it happened as recently as the last couple of years.
Yeah, but I can't remember his name either. But that was a good point that Saban made. You know, coaches illegally recruiting or talking to kids when you weren't supposed to, and then don't think they're not going to tell it. Here's case in point. Outside of your immediate family, there's probably not 5 people that you would tell something to and then ask them, hey, don't tell this. And be worried about it.
Yeah.
And that's people that you have a close friendship with. So why would you think a 18-year-old kid that a coach has probably never seen more than once or twice, if I tell him, hey, don't say anything.
You know it's going to be told. He's going to tell his friends, and then this one's going to tell them. The old saying is, if you tell someone, please, don't say anything about it, they're going to tell at least 3 people.
There is no doubt. So I thought that was a good point that Saban made there with social media as we have it now. Okay, on to the SEC West. LSU, we're going to start with them. LSU was 5-3 in the conference last year. They finished at 10-3. Jason, here's an interesting stat. Over the last 3 years, they have sent 21 players to the NFL. 21 players to the NFL, the most of any college football team in the country.
They recruit some real athletes.
They do.
There's no doubt about it.
They're always athletic. They're always good at every position. And the Mad Hatter, however he does it, he can get them.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it's him. I don't know if it's his assistant coaches. I don't know.
I'm not a big fan, but from everything you see and everything you hear, players love playing for him.
They do, and I can see that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can see that. You know, he's kind of off the
cuff. Have you seen the YouTube video of him and his son playing basketball?
No.
And he's in the headband and the goofy socks and shoes.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, look that up.
Is that recent or is that old stuff?
That's old stuff.
It's old stuff.
It's since he's been at LSU.
Yeah, it's just typical.
It's something you wouldn't see Nick Saban.
Right, yeah.
Steve Spurrier. Probably wouldn't see Gus Malzahn.
But, you know, Les Miles, that's a whole different case. So, the last 4 years, they have averaged 10 wins a year,
Not bad.
Not bad. That'll keep you a job.
And it wasn't long ago under DiNardo that LSU was the laughing stock of the SEC.
Oh, my goodness. Jerry. Yeah. Jerry DiNardo. I hadn't heard that name in a while. I don't guess he's coaching.
Remember the game against Auburn? They had the big lead, and what was it? They threw 3 or 4 interceptions, run back for a touchdown.
That's another one of those that's on the same lines of the Georgia and the way the Alabama game ended up.
It's
just remarkable. They've got a new quarterback, got a new tailback, got new receivers, basically because they all went to the NFL. The strength for them will be they got 6 starters back on defense. And they're always good defensively.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're always really good up front. They're just have been dominant.
LSU, Auburn's only loss during the regular season, only loss until the national championship in the rainstorm.
Right. Yeah. They open up with Wisconsin this year.
That won't be an easy one.
That won't be an easy one. Wisconsin was 9-4 last year. But here's the thing. after that game, they will easily win the rest of them until they get to Auburn on October the 4th. So LSU very well could be undefeated when they roll into Jordan-Hare. That will be a good football game. If LSU...
And something, that's another game that something always strange is going to happen at the Auburn-LSU game when it's played at Jordan-Hare.
Yeah, exactly. And that's not, you know, that's one of those that Auburn definitely can't mark on their schedule as a W.
Oh, no.
I mean, LSU's salty. They're going to be good. Okay. Then we have the next is we have Texas A&M. Texas A&M, they were 4-4 in the conference last year, 9-4 overall, which it's obvious. We all know there is no Johnny Manziel. But also, there is no wide receiver who was Mike Evans. Remember the
he's a hoss.
Oh, first-round draft pick. He just dominated whoever he played against. There was no defensive back that could come close to defending him. None anywhere. So they lost him. They lost Jake Matthews, offensive tackle. All three of those guys went in the first round. So you know you got you've got to have a pretty good team when your quarterback, your wide out, and an offensive tackle all go the first round. And it doesn't hurt that it's Johnny Manziel's your quarterback either.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about that.
They've got five starters back on offense. They've got nine starters back on defense.
Well, that's going to help them.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's not really a great bonus that they've got nine starters back on defense. You know, this would be one of those years that you wish, you know, you might have had one or two back.
Yeah.
Because they were.
But they have to improve.
They've got to get better.
They can't get a
lot worse. They were bad. They open up their first game is they open up with South Carolina. So they may get it handed to them right off the bat.
South Carolina will put an old L in their column right to start with.
Yes, it will. So that will. That may dictate how Texas A&M season goes. And we're going to pick, when we're through this segment, we're going to pick how we think the East, or I'm sorry, the West is going to end up. Next, we have, there's Mississippi State. Mississippi State was 3-5 in the conference. They were 7-6 overall. They won their last three games. They're on a three-game winning streak. They beat Arkansas, which last year was no big deal. They beat Ole Miss, and that was a big win. For Mississippi State. It was a have-to win because they beat Rice in the bowl game. They beat Rice 44-7. You know?
I always so love Rice.
Yeah. You're talking about an SEC team that just barely scrapes into the bowl season and then they just wax University of Rice.
Apparently, Mississippi State, at least on the outsider looking in, appears to be semi-happy.
Yeah.
With the situation, winning seven, eight games.
Yeah, they were 7-6. But, you know, the thing is, they were sitting there at 4-6. And then they beat Arkansas and Ole Miss and was able to get into a bowl game. So, boy, you talk about cutting it by the hair of your chinny-chin-chin. Now, the positive, a real positive for Mississippi State is they have 16 starters coming back. And they're on a three-game winning streak.
Yeah.
So, you know, they could have – you know, they could have a better than average year for, you know, Mississippi State. So, you know, I think we've only got just a minute or so, and then we'll go to a break. When we come back, we'll finish up with Ole Miss. We'll talk about them. We'll talk about Arkansas. And, again, Arkansas, It won't take long, but I think there's some good things coming. For them, even, and I know Jason really likes Coach Bielem.
Oh, one of my favorite people in the world.
Came to Arkansas from the University of Wisconsin.
Even the Arkansas people don't like him.
I know. He's just not the most likable guy out there, is he?
No, so, he has a personality of a brick.
No, yeah. So that's what we're going to do after we take our break. So we will come back with Ole Miss, Arkansas, pick our Western Division, and then Jason's got some more stuff. And then we have Rex coming on a little bit with a fishing report. So stay with us.
Hot dog, Armor hot dog. What kinds of kids eat Armor hot dog?
Kids with chicken pox
love hot dogs.
Farmer hot dogs.
The dog kids love to fight. Picking it up on the old banjo, put on the mustard and away we go.
November, come the longer evenings when folks drop in to play bridge or stop for a snack after the movies. So keep the refrigerator stocked with Kraft's famous cheese food, Velveeta, to spread or slice for swell toasted sandwiches. Velveeta's a natural for late evening snacks, you know, because it's digestible as milk itself. These days, you really ought to be buying rich golden Velveeta in the 2-pound size, so you'll have plenty for snacks and also to melt for economical meatless main dishes. Remember, smooth melting Velveeta helps supply the protein you expect from a main dish, but the price is low. Tomorrow, get Kraft's famous Velveeta.
I love Fatso. It's rich in chocolate tea. Chocolate flavored Fatso is mighty good for me. Mama puts it in my milk for extra energy. Fosco gives me iron and sunshine vitamin D. Oh, I love Fosco. That's the drink for me.
Say, here's how to make breakfast as exciting as a circus and a 3-day rodeo rolled into one.
Shredded, rolling for your breakfast. Start the day off shining bright. Gives you lots of cowboy energy with a flavor that's just right. It's delicious and nutritious, bite-sized and ready to eat. Take a tip from home, go and tell your mom, Shredded, rolling can be me.
For better breakfasts, it's Ralston. 1, 2, 3. Shredded Ralston, the ready-to-eat bite-sized cereal. Regular Ralston and Instant Ralston, the delicious hot cereals. Look for these whole-grain cereals in the red and white checkerboard packages. For better breakfasts, it's Ralston. 1, 2, 3.
Soon you'll be able to walk into your Admiral dealer's store and confidently buy the style radio or radio phonograph you want. The selection of Admiral radios will be complete. There'll be radio phonographs with the famous Admiral exclusive features. Slide away that makes loading and unloading your record changer so easy. And the foolproof Admiral automatic record changer. There'll be consoles and table models and newly designed cabinets of fine woods and modern plastics. There'll be farm sets and portables in many styles and sizes, including the popular Admiral Bantam, the camera type radio that operates on alternating current, direct current, or self-contained batteries. There'll be new electronic refinements and AM, FM, and shortwave reception. And now about television. Admiral's extensive research assures television receivers with true Admiral quality. So, whatever you want in radio, you'll find it in an Admiral, America's smart set. You can get a very good idea of what Admiral will offer if you're right for a free copy of the new full-colored booklet entitled It's a Promise from Admiral. Just write your name and address on a penny postcard and mail it to Admiral in care of this radio station. That's all. Just your name and address mailed to Admiral at this station.
Welcome back once again, Thursday afternoon. Bright sunshine and hot as a firecracker, Lenny.
Yes, it is. It's kind of warm. It's even catching my shoulder here coming through this wind.
Hey, you'll get a tan sitting there.
Yeah.
Good thing I'm not sitting on that side top of my head.
I'd have to have my sunglasses on. You'd be blinding me. Hey, we got two more teams to go through with the West. I don't know why I keep saying the East. These won't take long. Then we'll rank them. Next will be, we talked about LSU. We have talked about Mississippi State. We've talked about Texas A&M. The next one is Ole Miss. Not a lot there. You know, we're going to talk about. They finished the conference at 3-5, 8-5 overall. Their quarterback's back, Bo Wallace. You know, he's one of those. He's either pretty good or he's pretty bad. You know, there's no middle ground with him. He's in his third year with Hugh Freeze. So that's kind of what, you know, Ole Miss has.
I think this year you're going to see Bo Wallace have a much better year. I think he's going to be a quarterback to watch coming up this year.
I do, too. I think he can be, you know, I think he can be a really good quarterback for Ole Miss. Alabama has them on the fifth game on October the 5th. They start off with Boise State. We know what Boise State has done in the past. Now, the last year or so, they may not have been quite as strong, but, you know, we saw what they did years ago, if you remember, to Oklahoma with a trick play there at the end and beat Oklahoma.
And Bob Stoops blamed it on Nick Saban.
Oh, of course. that's right. Everything is Nick Saban's fault. But they open up with Boise. Then they've got a couple games there they can win. So they could be, you know, they could potentially be 4-0 once they play Alabama.
And remember, you heard it here first. Ole Miss beats Alabama.
That is the only reason I was kind of going through this schedule, because I knew you had picked Ole Miss to beat Alabama. Let me ask you this. Do you think they play Boise State, Vandy, Louisiana Lafayette, and Memphis? Do you think they will be undefeated going into the Alabama game?
If they survive Boise State, yes. I think Boise State will give them all they want, especially being, what did you say, first game?
First game.
Yeah, first game, it's going to be all they want plus some. But, yeah, I think undefeated playing in Alabama.
I do, too. I agree with you. I think they will be, you know, they'll be 5-0 playing Alabama, and Alabama will be, they will be at Ole Miss. So, Alabama will be on the road.
People that know me know I like to kid and aggravate about Alabama, and people like to aggravate me about Auburn.
That's what it's all about.
But this is one time I'm really not doing it just for aggravation. I really think Ole Miss has got a chance to beat Alabama.
If they
slimmest
can be,
of margins, but I still think right. Ole Miss may get them.
If they can be 5-0, they're going to have a lot of momentum. They're going to think they're pretty good, whether they're as good as they think they are. And that's half the battle, you know.
And remember, Alabama playing with
it's an unknown, irregardless
right,
of who plays.
Right, yeah.
You know, if it's Blake Sims or if it's Kofer, or not Coker, not Kofer. If it's Coker, neither one of them has ever played.
What do you think the odds of it not being Coker? How certain do you think Coker is as a starter? You
about 98%.
That's what I think. Nick Saban don't let him step a foot on the campus unless he's pretty certain kid's going to play.
He wouldn't come there unless he knew he's going to play. You know, so I think the only thing that keeps him out of the lineup is he gets hurt in fall practice. And then I'm not so sure that it'd even be Blake Sims. I think maybe one of the young guys.
I have no idea after that.
Yep. So they've got some good young quarterbacks, and they're not all going to stay there.
We have a gnat flying around that is driving me crazy.
All right. Let's look at your second favorite team. You slap your hands together. We know what it is. Your second favorite team, the Arkansas Razorbacks, because I can't say
enough good things about Arkansas.
I know. Yeah. Arkansas last year they were 0-8 in the conference. They were 3-9 overall. For lack of better words, a terrible year. They have their starting quarterback back. He's a redshirt sophomore. Now, here is the positive for Arkansas. Arkansas has a tailback that most people don't even know. If when I call the name, they're not going to know who it is. His name is Alex Collins. He's a sophomore. He ranks because they rank the top 25 players in the SEC, and then not just offensive players, but total, you know, defense, special team, offense in the SEC. He ranked as the 16th best player in the SEC, and again, he will be a sophomore this year. He's a tailback and a good one too. He also, that people won't know, he set the freshman record the first three games, he gained 100 yards in each game, and that was an SEC record. He ended the season with over 1,200 yards of rushing. That is a kid. If there's any kid in this conference that people don't know, you know, people know the Nick Marshalls. They know the T.J. Yeldons. They know the Derrick Henrys. They know the Gurleys, you know, those backs. This is a back that people don't know anything about.
Yeah, until you had talked to me about him earlier, I'd never heard the name.
Yeah, exactly. But he is a name, I promise you, as the season goes on, he is going to turn some heads. His name is Alex Collins. This is his name. So with that in mind, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that the Arkansas, they're going to be my pick to make it to a bowl game. They're going to get six. I think they're going to get six wins.
Double their wins
from
last year.
They're going to double their wins from last year. I believe they get to a bowl game. Again, they were 3-9 last year. They were 0-8 in the conference. But I really believe by looking at their schedule that they can get six wins. Now, quickly, they play Auburn right off the bat. They're not going to win that. They play Nicholls State. They play Texas Tech. They play Northern Illinois, Texas A&M, Alabama, Georgia, UAB, Mississippi State, LSU, Ole Miss, and Missouri. I think there's six wins there.
Maybe so. I'm going to stay with four.
You think so?
Four.
Okay. All right. I say they.
That's because I don't like them.
That's right. Because you don't like them. That's right. Hey, we're gonna take a break a little bit early today. We got Rex. He's already on the line, so we're gonna take a quick break, and then we'll come right back with our fishing report. So hang around. Call your buddies. Tell them Rex is on the line.
Presents Bucky Beaver's Space Guard.
Brush it, brush it, brush it. Here's the new iPad with a brand new flavor. Get dandy for your teeth.
It's in danger, and he's headed this way.
I'm gonna make cavities in everybody's teeth. Now, Beaver, I'm going to blast holes in your teeth. Hi, Tara!
New Ipana knocked out decay germs, best of all eating brands, including fluoride toothpaste.
Brush it, brush it, brush it. Here's the new Ipana with a brand new flavor. Knocked out decay germs, best. Fresh, clean, and minty. You'll like it. New Ipana toothpaste.
Sports Talk Live, 95.5 on a Thursday afternoon, fits in the call of the week. But before we do, hey, we've got Rich Chambers on the phone, and Ronnie's going to talk to him about what's going on in the area lakes and exactly what it's taking to put fish in the boat.
Hey, Rex, are you with us, man?
I'm here, Ronnie.
Hey, thanks for giving us a call. We appreciate it.
Anytime.
Hey, got a quick question for you. I know last week when we talked to you, you were sitting out on the lake at Gunnersville about to blast off for a tournament. Not asking how you did, but did you put some fish in the boat?
Well, we put a few fish in the boat. We had a pretty good evening. We ended up getting third in a little 25-boat tournament.
Hey, that's great. What was your weight?
Paid entry fee and gas money. That's all you can ask.
Hey, that's exactly. If you pay for your gas and the entry fee, it's a good day.
We didn't have just under 13 pounds, three fish limit in this hot weather. So.
Three fish limit, 13 pounds?
Like 12, 90 or something like that. Didn't take but like 15 to win.
So. Wow. So, but it's a great day to be out because that's the first day you'd got to fish.
That's the first day I'd been out in a while.
And that made it even better, didn't it?
It sure did.
Yeah.
Wasn't too uncomfortable about right. Over this whole ordeal. So
yeah, well that's good news too. Hey, tell us, you know, what can you tell us this week, Rex? You know, as far as Gunnersville and maybe Smith or any of the rest of them, what's going on?
Smith, of course, this is the weekend where I think it's our only all-nighter event this year.
The only all-nighter?
Now don't quote
okay,
me on
right,
that.
Okay.
But I think it is. It's the second annual Fishers and Men Bass Tournament. I think it's put on by a Temple Baptist Church.
Uh-huh.
It's out of Smith Lake Park, $125 per boat. So,
are you fishing it?
No, I'm not able to. I'm not
You're
able,
not able to do
able
that.
To boat for 12, 13 hours.
Right.
So,
sure. How many do they think, or do you know how many they've had to fish in the past?
No? I would guess they'd have 100 boats show up for this one.
Wow.
Anywhere between just 70 to 100, probably, because this is one of the better payout tournaments. It pays $3,000 for first place. And
the winner's three grand.
$3,000, and I think it's like $1,500 per second. So, and I think it pays through 20 places.
Well, you probably got a lot of people from different places coming to fish,
There'll be several out of town people show up for this one. A lot of the Jasper side folks will show up when there's good money on the line. But that's out of the park, and it's a little different. Now, this one's actually a 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. tournament. But it's blasting off on Friday night instead of Saturday night.
Friday night, 7 till 7.
7 till 7.
Wow.
7 p.m. Friday evening till 7 a.m. Saturday morning.
Wow. Well, if somebody came by and asked you, and they may very well, what advice would you give them?
My advice for Smith right now is to get on the long points with a big jig. I mean, that's what all the majority of the fish are being caught with. I do two things while we're fishing a tournament. I throw some top water before dark because he's going to have about an hour, hour and a half of dusky dark.
Right.
And then I would hit me some shallow boat docks with a jig right at dark, and then I'd start moving out just a little deeper as the night goes on.
Yeah.
Throw a spinnerbait and a jig.
Okay. Any particular color?
For this time of year, green pumpkin jig with a green pumpkin trailer. Spinnerbait, red and black with a gold blade would be my preference. A lot of people go with nickel.
Right. Yeah.
But that's probably the only two things I throw for 12 hours until at least the morning time. Then I go back to my top water and my salad bait.
Right. Let me, Rex, do people, I fish at some, what time of the year, this is just a personal question, that I like to fish, you know, a shaky head. What is the best time of year for that?
Well, any day on a shaky head, any day that ends in Y.
Any day that ends in Y.
Shaky head works year-round.
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer.
Right.
Don't matter. Don't matter. Pretty much, don't matter what lake you're on. You can go catch fish on a shaky head. That's
right.
It.
Yeah, and you know, it one of the simplest baits, you know, out there, and it consistently can catch you some fish.
If people growing up on Smith Lake, that's one of the first things they ever learn to fish as a kid.
Yeah.
You put that spinning rod in your hand. You put your quarter ounce shaky head on a finesse worm.
That's right.
But let me tell you, if you look, Smith Lake has groomed a heck of a lot of anglers over the years,
mm-hmm.
to do well on other bodies of water. And anybody that learns Smith Lake early,
right,
they're usually pretty good everywhere they go.
Yeah.
Simply because if you hit tough times, you hit a lake during a cold front, you hit Gunnville during a cold front, you go to Florida in a cold front earlier than the year, you break out the shaggy head, you get bit.
Right.
And it would amaze you at the people I fished with over the years, and I'm talking really, really good anglers,
right,
that hadn't got a clue how to fish shaggy head.
I fished that, you know, that for years. You know, kind of when you just first started learning to fish, like you said.
And that's what us Smith Lake anglers grow up learning, and that's a feather in your cap. If you can fish one and you've learned one, and you can fish it well. You're way ahead of the game.
Exactly. Hey, is there, as far as Smith goes, and then we'll go to Gunnersville or wherever else you want, wherever you want to tell us about, is there any one particular side or area of Smith that is better than the other, or is it just kind of wide open?
It's time of year. Like this time of year, hot summertime,
yeah.
The majority of the hardcore tournament guys, if they want to catch a big, they go to the other side of the lake. They go to Rock and Crooked.
Uh-huh.
And for some reason, June, July, August, Rock and Crooked seems to produce better bags of fish.
Hmm.
Now, wintertime, I'm right the opposite. Wintertime, I stay on the Coleman side of the lake.
Uh-huh.
Because it produces better bags of fish for
yeah.
me. For me, it does.
Right. And you want, you know, I don't know, but it makes you wonder why, what the reason for that is.
It's preference. I mean,
yeah.
Truthfully, if somebody wanted to stay on Coleman side and learn it like the back of their hand and
right.
where to go each month, it's personal preference. Some people like the boat ride.
Yeah.
And some people don't.
Right. That's exactly right. Well, hey, that's great. That's great news. That's great tips. You know, what's going on Gunnersville? I mean, on Smith, what's happening at Gunnersville?
Gunnersville's wide open also right now. Gunnersville is early morning top water, late evening top water. But in the heat of the afternoon, you better get out on the ledges and throw some big swim baits deep and some big crank baits deep.
Right.
Lots of big bags being caught.
Is the milfoil up, all the way up, Rex?
No, not everywhere, but it's there. I mean, it's time. Like, middle of the lake to end of Pine Island right now with the water. Water's down about 6 inches from what it was last week. There's a lot of grass on top.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's a 200-yard stretch of grass that you see.
Right.
But it's not everywhere. It's just in certain spots. But now here in the next couple of weeks, you know, the frog time is going to be rocking.
Oh, is that is the best for me? I love that at Gunnersville more than anything.
Up river right now, you can go to Mud Creek and places like that right now and catch a lot of frog fish because the grass is already
up. Yeah, that's right. Up above Scottsboro.
Right, but if you mid lake areas and lower lake areas, there's just certain spots where that grass is already topped out.
Right.
And if they're not pulling any water, and the water level's like it is right now, there's just a few places. Now, if they start pulling some water and the water comes up, then, you know, it kind of takes it out of play.
Right.
But you can throw a frog right now and get some bites. You're not going to catch the big 7-8 pounders like you will later on in the next few weeks, but you can still catch a lot of fish.
Right. You know, Gunnersville is just a great, great lake, and we're so fortunate and blessed to live this close to it. You know, people travel all over the country to fish over there.
They do. I know people all around the country, and everybody says, where do you live? And I said, well, I probably live in the best place in the world. I said, because I'm halfway between Smith Lake. I'm halfway between Gunnersville. I'm 30 minutes from Wheeler. I'm less than an hour from Pitwick and Wilson. I said, two-hour drive from Lay and Logan Martin. And I said, you just can't beat where we live at right here.
There's so many choices.
We're right in the middle of less than an hour and a half. You can be some of the best fisheries in the country.
Absolutely. You know, go over to, like I say, the Wilson and Pitwick and get on those smallmouth over there.
Can't beat it.
Boy, it doesn't get any better than that, does it?
It doesn't.
Well, hey, Rex. Hey, man, I appreciate you, taking the time out of your day to give us a call and give us some tips, and what's going on, on the area of the lake. So we really appreciate it.
Anytime.
I'll see you
next week.
Thanks, Rex. See you, bud.
Right, have a good one.
All righty. Bye-bye.
All you boys and girls, hurry to become good luck mascots for a real Army pilot. Yep, we invite this whole gang shebang to be mascots for a fighting and flying pilot of a North American D-25 bomber. A real bomber, mind you, not any make-believe. As mascot, you get to have your name and good luck message go to war with the daring pilot of a B-25 as he flies to blast the Japs and Nazis. Oh, boy, think of your name right there in the crew compartment when your battle bird drops his bombs. That makes you his good luck mascot. Wee, what a thrill for you. We make this wonderful offer to help sell more war stamps, and that means more bombs for Uncle Sam's brave air fighters. And so the world will know that you are an Army pilot's good luck mascot. You can also get these two important gifts. First, a big, beautiful color picture of the North American B-25 bomber high in the clouds, flying full clip over dangerous mountain country. This breathtaking picture has your personal shield of honor, certifying that your name and good luck message have gone to war in a B-25. And we also send you a handsome button, a big bonanza to wear on your coat lapel, proudly showing that you are a pilot's good luck mascot. The button goes to boys and girls alike. And it sure is easy to get in on this exciting offer. Even a first grader can join up. This remarkable offer, the first and only one of its kind, is made to help the sale of war stamps and also to get you acquainted with Quaker Puffed Rice Sparkies and Quaker Puffed Wheat Sparkies, those delicious, nutritious breakfast cereals shot from guns. Yes, shot from guns, bursting forth as gigantic grains of goodness, tasting super scrumptious. Now, it's easy as falling off a log to become a pilot's good luck mascot and also get your two swell elegant gifts. So listen for sure at the end of this program. Now for the good news you're all waiting for. First, here's what you do to become an Army pilot's good luck mascot. Just write this sentence on a piece of paper. I promise to buy a new war-saving stamp within a week and sign your name and address to it. In exchange for this patriotic promise, the Army Air Forces permit us to have your name as you sign it on the piece of paper enrolled on a microfilm scroll and given to the pilot of a North American B-25 bomber with this message. Good luck, and drop one on the Japs and Nazis for me. That makes you an Army pilot's good luck mascot and is your reward for promising to buy a war stamp. Second, to show the world you're an Army pilot's good luck mascot, you'll want us to send you this big, beautiful color photo of the B-25 bomber and your pilot's mascot button. Now, down in one corner of this gorgeous picture is your personal shield of honor showing your name and good luck message are riding with the pilot of a B-25 bomber. And in the same package, we send your handsome pilot's mascot button to proudly wear. Now, to get your picture and button, simply enclose two box tops from Quaker Puff Wheat Sparkies or Quaker Puff Rice Sparkies. That's all, just two box tops. But don't wait. Mail today your signed promise to buy a war stamp and thus become a pilot's mascot. And for your bomber picture and mascot button, be sure to enclose two box tops from Quaker Puff Wheat or Rice Sparkies. Mail your letter to Terry and the Pirates, Box Q, Chicago.
Basketball is the dream for you. Nickel, 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 nickel.
Pepsi Cola hits the spot. 12 full ounces, that's a lot. Twice as much for a nickel, too. Pepsi Cola is the drink for you.
Gentlemen, since y'all have complained so much about not having, you know, me taking all the commercials from you, I thought I'd let the music play a little longer for you.
Thank you.
We are back with you, Sports Talk Live, 5:42, so we're rolling into the last 18 minutes of the show, and we have worked our way through the East this week, over to the West to finish it up, and I think now it's prediction time.
Prediction time, again. We did the East earlier, and here is my prediction for the West. Naturally, I've already said this once. But
Imagine this.
I'm picking Alabama to win the West. I'm picking Auburn second, LSU third, Ole Miss fourth, Arkansas fifth, because I believe Arkansas is going to win six games and get to a bowl game. So I can't really pick them last, you know.
Yeah, that wouldn't make a whole lot of sense.
No, and my picks are probably not real good the more I look at them. But I picked Arkansas, then Texas A&M, then Mississippi State.
Okay, write these down because we want to see at the end of the year who owes who
steak dinner.
I'm going to go with Auburn as one, of course. Alabama is two. I'm struggling on three. I'm going to go, just to be different, with the Ole Miss Rebels at three.
Ole Miss Rebels at three,
LSU at four, Texas A&M five, Mississippi State six, and Arkansas bringing up the back.
That's just because you don't like their coach.
I don't like Arkansas. Have I told you that lately?
About 3 minutes ago. It has nothing to do with the ability of his team. It's simply because you don't like him.
And I think they're bad.
I really think they're bad. I think they're going to be much better.
I think that running back will be a bright spot, but, hey, I don't think they're going to win.
We'll see how it goes. Okay, that's our picks.
Which leads us into, if you want to get serious about picks, for entertainment purposes only this season.
Yeah, you have to emphasize that.
That's right. If you want to not bet tokens or something, what's Vegas having to say? What are the odds of who makes it to the playoffs? Look at kind of like this, Ronnie. Who would you say is the by far favorite to make it into the four-team playoff?
Just one person? One team?
One team.
Florida State.
Florida State, no doubt about it, are heavy favorites to be in.
Completely obvious. Number one, they just won the national championship. They got a lot of players back, and they have their quarterback, you know, unless he decides to go into – you know, Publix and steal some more snow crabs or something. But anyway, as of right now, you know, they still got him, won the Heisman. And their conference schedule, I mean, is terrible. I mean, they're just going to breeze through it. I don't think there's any way possible they can't be in the four-team playoff.
It would be difficult. They would almost have to try not to make it. I don't think
they could get that many people hurt.
If you were betting it to win $100, you would need to bet $250. To win 100, it's a minus 250 game, and what that means is you bet 250 to win 100.
Okay, why do I want to bet 250 to win 100?
Hey, some people do it. I've seen it worse than that, and then bet it. If you bet no, Florida State will not make the playoffs, it's a plus 170. Now, what that means is a $100 bet will win you 170. So a lot of difference there, and that just shows you how heavy Florida State is as a favorite. Alabama is the second in line. They are a minus 130, so that would mean to collect $100. No, if you bet $100, you would collect $76.92 on your $100 bet.
So Vegas is saying, correct me if I'm wrong, are they saying Florida State is the predominant choice to win the national championship?
No, just to make it into the 14th.
I got you.
You can get odds on winning the whole thing, but this is just broke down into the teams that's going to make it.
So they're saying Alabama will be in one of the four teams.
Right. Oregon comes in at number three. A $100 bet would return you $120. And if you bet no on Oregon, it's a minus 160. And what that means, a $100 bet would return you $62.50. Mm. The other team they've got, Ohio State. Yes, it's even. $100 pays you $100. No, minus 140 means $100 takes in $71.43. Now, Oklahoma at five. Auburn.
Well, I was going to say, where's Auburn?
Auburn is six. They are a plus 170 at yes, which means a $100 bet returns $170. And that's just saying, hey, the odds are Auburn's not going to make it. These numbers as a season. Yeah.
And as much as you would like for Auburn to make it, you in your own being objective, do not think they'll be in the final.
I don't think they will. I think it's probably a 30% chance, maybe.
Yeah.
Because, like we've talked about, Ronnie, the schedule not in Auburn's favor.
But I don't think it goes. I don't think there's any doubt that whoever wins the SEC will be in the fourth.
Hey, let me throw something at you talking about who wins the SEC. I posted this on Facebook and got a lot of criticism for this thought, but I think it's right, and I still believe it should be done. Move the Auburn-Alabama game to the middle of the season or even earlier in the season because of this. It comes down, as this year could very well happen, last year happened, Alabama and Auburn play at the end of the year. If you've got two teams like that playing at the end of the year, say Alabama beats Auburn, gives them their second loss, or maybe even their first loss, knocks them out of the 14 playoff. Auburn beats Alabama, very well could knock Alabama out of the 14 playoff.
Do you think that if, let's just say that scenario, that it's the last game of the year, Bama, Auburn, both are undefeated, and then do you think it's possible that the loser of that game would still get in the 14 playoff?
I think it's possible but not probable because you've got a committee.
A committee of athletic directors.
A committee picking it, and I think they're going to go the extra mile to ensure that different conferences are represented. It's not SEC heavy.
Right. But it is feasible. It is possible for that to happen.
Last year it would have happened.
That's right.
If you went by the rankings. But this year the rankings are going to have little to do with it, if anything.
Right. But I think it is possible. And a lot, of course, I think for that to take place, for two SEC schools to get into the playoff, there has to be problems, bad teams, mediocre teams, and some of those other power conferences.
Right.
That's the only way that will happen. But if it were to happen, I can certainly see where two teams from the SEC would deserve to be in.
I think most years, two from the SEC will deserve it, but I think we will rarely see it because of equality.
I agree.
Equality, the dirty word.
I agree with you.
South Carolina, plus 400 as a yes, they will make it into the 14 playoff. And get this, Ronnie, $100 would return you $400 on that one.
That's on South Carolina.
That's a pretty good bargain on South Carolina.
Yeah, I was going to say, because, you know, that's not out of the realm of possibility with South Carolina.
Not at all. And I think their biggest hurdle would be, no doubt, the SEC championship, having to face somebody coming out of the West. No. Now, you might want to jump on this one. No is a minus 600. So if you bet $100, it would return you a whopping $16.67.
$16 if
to bet that South Carolina won't make it.
$16. I got to bet $100 to win $16.
That's right.
No.
How about this? NFL odds. regular season wins. I'm going to give you the number that Vegas is saying. Tell me you think if they'll win more or less. Carolina Panthers, 8.5.
Less.
You don't think they're going to get
more than
8.5?
How many did they win last? Do you remember? Do you know how many they won last?
I'm thinking in the 8 range.
Didn't they go 12-4 last?
No.
They weren't that good last year?
No. I don't think so.
Okay.
Maybe they got to 10 or 11. Okay. They made the playoffs and then blew it as they did several games.
I don't think they'll win 8 games.
Come on, Randy.
They lost a lot of people.
Come on, Randy.
A lot of people left Panthers.
Atlanta Falcons, 8.5.
Well, they'll win that. Do I have to say more or less?
Well, unless you think they're going to win 8.5, and I doubt they're going to get the half.
True, 8.5. That would be difficult. If they stay healthy, they'll win more.
Okay, I think you're probably right on that one. The Seattle Seahawks, last year's winner, 11 games, 11 wins.
Less.
Less. I tend to agree with you on that one, too.
I don't think they have the magic like they did last year.
Denver Broncos, team we talked about earlier, at 11.5.
I think they'll win more.
I think they get to 12 or 13 possibly.
If you can keep Peyton Manning healthy and you can protect him and give him enough time to throw the football,
Peyton Manning is not going to win 12 games. Peyton Manning should receive double pay for quarterback and coach.
Sure. I mean, if they can do those things and he doesn't end up on his rear end most of the time, I mean, good grief, he can throw 70 touchdowns.
Talking about Peyton Manning, he is the leading candidate right now at 3-1 odds to win the MVP for the NFL this coming year. Aaron Rodgers comes in second at 6-1. At 15-2, Drew Brees, and fourth, Tom Brady at 9-1. What do you think is the best bargain there? If you had to take one and put money on it. Peyton Manning's probably a more sure thing, but only paying 3-1. So.
Well, you know, it's hard to go against him, but...
About Cam Newton at 33-1.
Well, it's either feast or famine. You don't know.
Eli Manning, 66-1.
That's who I'd pick. He had a horrible year last year. But he's won, isn't it, too?
I like Eli Manning at 66-1, yes. Where $10 would pay you $660 for entertainment purposes
only. There's no question to that. I mean, this guy's got two – I'm almost positive he's got two Super Bowl rings.
Who, just off the top of your head, rookie of the year? Between – I'll give you the three.
Okay.
Sammy Watkins, Johnny Manziel, Mike Evans.
Sammy Watkins,
you're right.
Yeah.
At 9-2. Johnny Manziel, 6-1 odds, and Mike Evans, 6-1 odds.
Well, so we don't even know if Johnny Manziel's going to play or not, number one. Number two, we know those other two guys are.
Who got the deal on Manziel? Did Manziel get the deal or did Cleveland get the deal?
I don't know. I say Cleveland.
I think Manziel did.
Okay, that's good. We disagree. You know, it just depends on how it ends up. I don't think he'll start the season as the starter.
Probably not. And I think his magic runs out in the NFL. I don't think he
can stay healthy if he plays the same style that he played in college. And I don't know that he knows any other style.
If he runs his mouth in the NFL like he did in college, he will not be healthy.
No.
Because those boys will call you to order.
Yes, they will. I mean, he's only about, you know, looks like about $150 or $160, you know. I just don't know if he can physically handle it.
We were in California for the national championship game. Johnny Manziel happened to stay the night before the championship game at the same hotel. He was spotted. And where in the hotel do you think he was found?
Well, would it be safe to say the bar?
You're right, 100% right. He was found at the bar.
That's not surprising.
No, that was a shocker. Never expected to see him there. Hey, in the world of college football, Ronnie, we talked about the teams that would make it and wouldn't make it. Who do you see as a bargain of getting into the four? The list I gave you, the Alabama, Florida State, Oregon, and Ohio State on here are pretty sure bets. But you see anybody that jumps out at you as, hey,
could possibly get into
that? Could possibly get in there, and it looks like pretty good payment if they do.
If I had to pick off of this list you gave me, excluding the four here right here, and I had to use the others, South Carolina.
I think I agree with you 100%. I think South Carolina is a bargain at that. Yep. If they can get through the SEC championship.
I agree. I'll tell you a club that's not even on here that I think they are worth mentioning and could possibly, if everything fell just right for them, and we know how that goes sometimes, and you're probably going to laugh at this one, but it's UCLA. Because we don't know anything about UCLA football.
I don't disagree.
But I think they have a chance. Again, things would have to fall really good for them. But I see them as possibly upsetting Oregon and could get to the national at least into the playoff. Wow. We'll just have to keep a check on that one.
Talking about cheating and the NCAA and the rules and all that we've talked about today, let me ask you this question that's been around as long as we are old. Does everybody in college football cheat?
At some point in time, yes.
It does 90% or 95% of the teams pay players?
Ooh.
We're saying that quietly, players.
Are you saying that's through?
Not through the
this
coach.
This is all booster stuff.
Booster.
That would probably be pretty safe.
Oh, I think so.
Hey, and it might be something as little as a $10 bill to go get something to eat.
You know the old saying, you have to cheat to compete.
That's right, yeah. But from the coaches and coaches staffs, I kind of agree with what Saban had to say there, that the social media is just – it just makes it too easy for a kid to say, hey, this coach told me this, he talked to me, he offered me this, he offered me that. I think if it happens, it's going to happen more with the boosters than it is with coaches themselves.
Hey, the thing that gets me about it, Ronnie, and we're going to have to hurry up with this and say our goodbyes for the week, but the thing that gets me is – and fans on both sides, I'm not saying Alabama fans, Auburn fans do it just as well, but, hey, you're fast to sling mud at the other team for cheating, paying players, and so forth, and don't examine your own closet.
That's right. I mean, there might be a skeleton in there if you open it.
You get to look, and there's a lot of questionable activities. Kids that have been raised broke, basically broke, they come to school driving a new truck or a new Cadillac.
And we see that every year. You got it.
Hey, Ronnie, we're getting ready to say our goodbyes. We want to remind everyone to visit our website, live95coleman.com. Visit it on Facebook. The show, once again, will be available live on demand. Ronnie, have you listened to any live on demand?
I have.
Or not live on demand, Sports Talk Live on demand.
I have. I have listened to it.
It's a pretty neat setup if you missed anything or you want to go back and hear a part of the today's show and say, did I hear that right?
I know.
Did they really say that?
So we want to encourage folks to, that don't get the show or, they miss a segment or whatever, to tune it back in.
And follow us. Please follow us on Twitter. If you're missing Twitter, you're missing some fun. We report Alabama and Auburn recruiting news during high school seasons. We will be reporting the high school scores and stats. And also missing cash clues for Moolah.
That's right. That's next Tuesday. It starts all
that's
over
right.
again, and that's a big thanks to People's Bank
People's
who sponsors
Bank.
That.
Huge in this.
Yeah, we've only got just about maybe 20 seconds left, but just as a quick reminder, we will have Chandler Nelson on with us next Tuesday at 5 o'clock. He has signed a football scholarship with Tennessee Tech, a West Point High School graduate, so he will be with us.
Hey, looking forward to that and looking forward to more Moolah clues will be coming up Tuesday, and let's see who's going to find it.
Cindy will be after it. So
folks,
the challenge is there.
That's right. Have yourself a great weekend and a safe weekend. Join us again Tuesday, but in between times, visit us on the net. Ronnie, enjoyed it.
Me too, Jason. Have a great weekend. See you, Jay.
See you, everyone.
Fuego Alo. No sign but the sign of his feet. She comes ready to go. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? I stand here on the edge of the seat. Out the doorway, the bullets rip to the sound of the beat. Yeah, 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 yeah. Sing it. Thank you. Good again. Hey, and another one come, and another one come. Another one bites the dust. Hey, come and get you too.
Live 95 WRJM LP Coleman.
I didn't ask for.